Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and boy, it's my prayer that during this Christmas season, we're celebrating Christmas, Advent, but during this Christmas season, even in the midst of COVID-19, with lockdowns, shutdowns, lockouts, with isolation and quarantines, that the advent of Christ still comes to you. My prayer is that you will not miss the birth of Christ, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you could follow along with me and be blessed. Be blessed and listen for God's word this Christmas season. Before we go to God's word, let us pray. Gracious Lord, God of all grace, God of sovereignty who rules over all things, we pray for your grace to be sufficient at this Christmas time. We pray for those that are alone and isolated. We pray that you would come and speak to them and say, do not be afraid, for I am with you. My name is Emmanuel. I have come to be with you and to save you. I pray for those that are struggling financially. I pray that you would be with those and minister your grace during this Christmas season and open the storehouses of heaven. I pray for each one of us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea of Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Those are powerful words. When the angel appeared to Zechariah, he said, do not be afraid. When the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary, he said, do not be afraid. When the angel showed up to Joseph, he said, do not be afraid. When the angel shows up to the shepherds, do not be afraid. My word for you tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this program, is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't let your hearts be anxious about anything. Do not be afraid. I don't know the struggles that you're having in this pandemic, but do not be afraid. Let's go back to our verse 10, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born, and he was born to you, is what it says, born to you, and he is the Messiah. Don't miss that. The Savior is born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow. This came from an article, but from the news, Julianne Holland, a 13-year-old young lady, an eighth grader in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, wanted to do her part for Christmas. And without informing her parents, she addressed a letter to Jesus in care of the local post office. It landed on the desk of a Presbyterian man by the name of Donald L. Orner. He was 62. He was the director of customer service at the postal center in Harrisburg. "Dear friend," wrote Julianne, "I am 13 years old, and you must think I'm weird for writing a letter to Jesus when everyone knows it wouldn't get anywhere. But I wanted to give you a message. Every Christmas, all people think about is getting presents. But that's not the reason at all. I think Christmas means getting all your friends together and having a good time because Jesus is born. And that's just the beginning of all the beautiful things he did for us. By being born, he let love into this world." Wow. From a 13-year-old little girl. "By being born, Jesus let love into the world." Well, Donald Orner replied, and he put, "We have no mail route to heaven, but I am sure that Jesus is aware of what you wrote. He knows your thoughts. He knows our feelings. And every line of your beautiful letter flowed out across all the miles that no mailman could ever travel and touched my heart. You said your letter wouldn't get anywhere. It touched my heart. And be assured, Julianne, he knows. May you have a happy Christmas and God bless you." Somehow, a reporter found out about the letters and the Associated Press flashed the story around the world. If you've been with us over the past 4 weeks of Advent, we've been journeying to Bethlehem by looking at the good news of great joy for everyone through the birth of Christ Jesus our Lord. We have seen how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Then a few months later, Gabriel comes again to announce to Mary that she will become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary will give birth to the Messiah, the one who will save the people from all their sins. Then the angel appears to confirm the message of the birth of Jesus to Joseph. I encourage you to take a few moments this Christmas season and read chapters 1 and 2 of the Gospel of Luke. Read chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. Put yourself in the story. Enter the story of all stories. Enter into their sandals. Enter into their life. Put yourself into the story. Can you identify with Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph? Can you identify with the anonymous innkeeper, the shepherds, the angels, or the reality that the one who created you came to live with you and in you? Put yourself in these Christmas stories. Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph and Mary said yes to God's plan, they likely didn't think this world, this would mean anything. This was a grueling journey of 90 miles. They traveled 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they were certainly not expecting there to be no room or physically a place for them to give birth to the Messiah, the Christ child, the King of the universe. But here they are. Here they are. Let's take just a few moments and reflect on the anonymous innkeeper. I don't know if you've ever entered into that story and thought about the innkeeper or even the overlooked shepherds. It was an ordinary day for the innkeeper. He didn't expect that God would come and knock on his door. All he knew was that Bethlehem was busting out and bustling about and busy with all the people coming and going. And now there was a census going on. What I find interesting that Dr. Luke, who writes this account, is always so meticulous in reporting the facts that he leaves out of the story the name of the innkeeper. Luke doesn't tell us where the innkeeper was or what the inn was like. I know that theologians have written over 2,000 years about the innkeeper's encounter. The truth is that God comes in many varied and different ways. The truth being said, I think God wants to come into your life today. God wants to come and knock on your door, and he wants to take up residence. Think of the ways how often God enters our lives. A farmer who was not even a worshiper of God by the name of Abraham was minding his herds when God called him to leave everything and take his wife to a land called Canaan in Genesis 12. A fallen prince by the name of Moses was working the backside of the desert when God appeared in a flaming bush and told him to go to Egypt, Exodus 3. A shepherd boy by the name of David was busy tending sheep when he was summoned inside, and a priest by the name of Samuel poured oil on his head and whispered in his ear that he'd be Israel's next king. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. It's my prayer that at this Christmas season, that the hope and the love and the joy and the peace of Christ will reign in your hearts. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the icon for prayer, and our prayer team will pray for you. I want you to know that you're not alone this Christmas season. Click on the prayer concerns, and we will respond. We'll pray for you. You're not alone. Have you ever thought about how God enters? We looked at how God enters into our lives through Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper and the shepherds, how God entered into Abraham's life and Moses' life and David's life. Do you know that there was a high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin by the name of Paul who was on his way to Damascus, putting down his new religious this new religious cult called The Way? When Jesus met him in a blinding light on the way to Damascus, read the story in Acts chapter 9. Few in Bethlehem were ready, anticipating the Son of God to show up at their doorsteps. Certainly not this Hebrew business owner, the innkeeper. This was just another couple trying to find space in a crowded Bethlehem. Are you open? That's the question that I have for you. Are you open for God to come and knock on your door? Better yet, is the inn of your heart open? Is there room in your life for God to show up and be born in your life? We are we're religious up to the point that it costs us something, I think. Do you believe that? I think we're religious up to the point when it costs us something. We want Jesus who forms himself around our priorities and who can maybe sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on top of our agendas. But Jesus invades our lives and disrupts them. He asks us to leave our nets and follow him. He asks us to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He asks us to drop our ambitions and join his mission. He asks us to leave behind our idols and worship him with devotion. Frederick Buechner, a wonderful writer, wrote a book called The Hungering Dark. And here's a quote from Frederick Buechner. Those who believe in God can never, in a way, be sure of him again. Once they have seen him in a stable, They can never be sure where he will appear to, or at what lengths he will go, or at what just what depths of self-humiliation he will descend in this wild pursuit of man. There is no place or time so lowly and earthbound, but the holiness can present himself there. Think about that. There is no place, no place or time so lowly that Emmanuel will not present himself there. The innkeeper, he was on an ordinary day, not expecting God to show up, a knock on the door. And the innkeeper said, "No room in the inn." My prayer is that you're not going to be like the innkeeper. Maybe right now, today, God is knocking on the door of your heart and wanting to come in. There's no better time than today to invite Emmanuel, God with us, inside. I want to take a few moments and look at the shepherds real quick. The shepherds, the presence of the shepherds in a Christmas story also tells us a little bit of what kind of the Messiah, what kind of Jesus he would be. He would come to us as a savior, as a king, as a lion of Judah, but he also comes to us as a shepherd. One minute they are out watching the flocks, maybe catching a few minutes of sleep after a night shift, and the next minute they are witnesses to salvation's history. The display in the heavens must have been spectacular, as the sky around them filled with the host of heaven praising God and worshiping God. Well, I have no doubt that this wasn't just a small ensemble of angels or the chief angel, but a host of heaven. Not even the greatest performance on earth with the most talented musicians could parallel the incredible celebration that unfolded on the big screen of the sky before these shepherds. The plan of God, conceived from the time immemorial, the plan of redemption promised in the garden, was unfolding before their eyes. I always find it interesting how God seems throughout Scripture to interrupt and show up in the middle of an ordinary day in the ordinary person's daily routine. It's not like the shepherds got an email invite the day before, "Meet up at the field, I have an epic event." No, not. And yet, even though they were caught by surprise, these men of humble means and reputation, in fact, shepherds were the outcasts, as the lowest of society. Don't you find it interesting that God shows up to the outcasts, the lowest of society, first? These men of humble means and reputation responded in a way, well, they responded in such a way that it proves God's wisdom in entrusting the announcement of the birth of Jesus. They believed. Don't miss it. Go read the story in Luke 1. They believed. These men saw the angels, heard the witnesses, and they believed. The scribes, well, they were too jaded. The royals were too sophisticated. The Romans were too dismissive. But these humble outsiders had the simple faith to look up, to listen, and to put their faith in the Christ child. They returned, it says, and they were glorifying God. It says they hurried off and found, I'm going to read it in Luke 2:16, they hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they told them. The angels were obedient. They said, "Let's go see." And they ran and they found the Messiah, the Christ child, just as the angels had told them. And then the shepherds went, it says, and they told everyone. And all the people who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. But Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, I would say one thought too that I want to maybe kind of wrap it up with. They returned, it says they returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had told them. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with in this pandemic. I don't know the anxiety. I don't know the fear, the panic. I don't know your struggles. But I want to tell you, I do know the God who loves you. The God who loves you and promises that he will never leave you or forsake you. His promise is that he will be with you. And the passages over all over the Bible says that. I love the Isaiah passage that he's our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he's our Prince of Peace. And my prayer during this Christmas season is that the Prince of Peace will come and rule and reign in your heart. You know that it was just an ordinary night. The name of Jesus is on our lips during this season. For a few precious moments, our desires come together and we become a chorus, a mixed chorus of business people, lawyers, doctors, nurses, teachers, homemakers, retired people, school-bound people. We're all banking. We're all counting on Bethlehem's mystery to be a reality. Come and behold him, we sing, stirring out this like what the shepherds, they came and beheld, and they came to the Christ child. My prayer is that you're going to come to the Christ child. Christ is beheld. Christ is our Savior. He's our Messiah and he's our Lord. The common is made holy. Well, a loaf of bread becomes the bread of life. A cup of water becomes a living water. The star in the night becomes a guiding light. A baby is born in a stable, becomes our firm foundation. Wow. If we could give a gift this Christmas to Jesus, what would that gift be? Would you say that you don't have anything worthy of a king, but you have one thing that he would long for? That all heaven would erupt into songs and praise God for? Do you know what that gift is? It's your heart. Christ longs to warm your heart and your life. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for shepherds. We give thanks for your good news that they responded and they proclaimed the joy, the glorious joy for all people. And Lord, let us not be like the innkeeper, missing the knock on the door of his heart. Lord, let us see you in the midst of this Christmas season. And we invite you, Lord Jesus, to come and to rule and to reign in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer for you during this Christmas season, that you would respond. That Christ would come. He only wants one gift from you, and that's the gift of your heart. Maybe today is the day that you ask the Christ child to come and live in you and with you and for you. It's pretty simple. You open your heart by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Help me make a brand new start. Be with me all through this day. And every day, and guide my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Merry Christmas. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.